This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, I'd like to know if you have some time to talk about our savior, Josh Allen. Because look, if that dude started a religion, I want to believe I'm not susceptible to a cult.
Okay.
But if it was him, I can't totally be sure. And he looks almost deity-like, right? The hair is now flowing.
Yeah.
The beard is there, right?
He
is
overall a large person.
And he's calm, cool, and collected. You saw Tracy Wolfson from CBS last night trying to get him to admit that was a big game.
He has a perfect amount of hair that doesn't turn my wife off.
Well, she
you know what I'm saying? Like, if the hair was too long, if the beard was too raggedy, here we go. He looks unkempt. But that's an acceptable amount of mom facial hair.
She didn't see him in his mullet era, though, I'm guessing.
Probably not.
You're hanging out on The Breaker, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. Joining us to help celebrate this Bills 30-21 win, 9-2 for the first time since 1992, and a game out of the top overall seed in the AFC. Please welcome Dan Chesty Fates. Fates, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. That was a lot of fun yesterday.
You're not kidding, man. I mean, that stadium was, you like, how anyone has ears and a voice left this morning is beyond me.
This is the game of the year. It was hyped up all week. It was the national CBS game, all of those things. And the players did their best to say it's just another game and it's just week 11, all these things. Very rarely does something get hyped up like that, I think, and live up to it. I think that game lived up to the hype and then some. And then you had an MVP, you know, they talk about college football. It's the Heisman moment. That was Josh Allen's MVP moment for this season.
Okay, hold on. You're going to get ahead of me here because I want to run down a list here, Dan, because I value
you. Have notes?
I value your opinion. What, do you think I come in unprepared for this with you? I don't trust you to handle this on your own.
Yeah, we're not Channel 8.
All right, Dan, I'm going to run down as we have some discussion. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. True or false, the Bills are the AFC one seed come week 18.
False.
Oh, why is that?
They still have a gauntlet to go through. They still have to go to Detroit, and the Chiefs' schedule is a breeze. So I don't know where the Chiefs necessarily get tripped up again. I know they're a half game back. I don't know how many more games the Chiefs lose compared to the Bills. Now, I'm not saying it's not a possibility, but I think it's less than 50%. So I'll say false. I don't think they catch the Chiefs in that sense.
Okay, I want to argue with you now. The Chiefs have been walking this razor wire. We've been talking about it all morning, Tommy, Kimmy, about how
they win in the fourth quarter.
Exactly, and they're winning by these insane strokes of luck. And look, I understand that closing out a game is a legitimate talent for a team, but eventually those games catch up.
And Taylor's not even going to the games anymore.
Man, she stood them up last week, man, or last night. She knew. She saw the Bills' defense on tape. She knew.
Is that why?
Yes. But okay, so I'm sorry.
No, Pat, it was funny. They talked about it on the broadcast at halftime. They were like, the Chiefs are 4-0 this season when trailing at halftime. It's like, what's their record when they are winning at halftime? Like, they were undefeated. They have always. It was such a dumb stat for an undefeated team. And they're like, they've come back in all these games. Yeah, we know they've won 15 straight games coming into this. So, like, all of those, like, dumb stats where you go, like, oh, can't believe that. It's like, yeah, obviously they have found ways to win. They're not undefeated good. I don't think the 72 Dolphins, which is the dumbest thing in all of football for them to celebrate every time this happens. I don't think they were ever worried, but I don't think the Chiefs are a bad team. I know they're playing with fire, but I think they're still, it is a skill, like
sure,
you said,
sure.
To find ways to win.
All right, but here's what I'm getting at here. No, you're right. You got Carolina on the schedule. You got Cleveland on the schedule.
Yeah. This is Kansas City.
But here's the thing. Kansas City the last couple of years have played rough, close games against every team in their division. And they have one division game left with every team. They got the Raiders, they have the Chargers, and they have Denver to close out the season. You also have Pittsburgh and Houston in there. And I would make the argument, Dan, even for a capable football team, which I believe the Chargers and which I believe the Broncos are, not to mention Houston and Pittsburgh, the Bills gave you a blueprint on how to beat the Chiefs.
Ooh.
I mean, you don't think that every defensive coordinator watched what they did last night and started licking their chops?
Yeah, it's funny. I look at that game and I say the Bills were the better team, right? There's no question. I also think the Bills didn't play their best and still beat a 9-0 Chiefs team. Like, that is, there have been times we're sitting there after the game and I'm going, hey, really, you know, the Bills scored 30 points against a really good defense, and I thought their offensive game plan was poor. I thought they were terrible on first down. They had tons of third and longs. They still found ways to convert them. Like, that was not the Bills' best offensive showing by any means, and they scored 30 points against a defense that hadn't allowed 30 points in a game since week 4 of 2022.
How are you like, that's so, that? Like,
damn.
Yeah, facts.
Yeah.
So this was, it's so weird, like walking out of that game going, man, the Bills found a way to win. Like, I thought McDermott pushed all the right buttons, Josh put on his cape, all these things. And I still thought the Bills left stuff out there. And, you know, they still had one poor drive in the second half defensively where they let the Chiefs just march down the field after a great drive by the Bills to go up by 9. So, I'm very encouraged because the fact of, you know, that you'll get Keon Coleman back, you'll get Dalton Kincaid back, you're going to get Matt Milano back at some point. So all that's impressive. The Bills just do have a tough gauntlet still to go with the Niners going to Detroit, things like that.
Okay, so but let's talk about that. And I understand when that schedule came out, that Niners game was scary. And even now, the Niners lost yesterday. So they're 5-5. But Dan, I mean, if you want every reason why the Bills win this game, fact, Sean McDermott has a really good record against teams traveling from the West Coast to East. Fact, Sean McDermott has a really good record coming out of the bye week. He's got 2 weeks to prepare. Fact.
That's a fact.
Josh Allen in prime time.
Yeah.
I mean, Dan.
Hopefully gets those guys back.
It ain't a walkover game, but this is a hell of a lot better than we thought it was going to be.
Oh, absolutely. And I also, we're thinking about this Niners team, and I know we're 2 weeks away from that game. Everybody's like, oh, the Niners are a good team. You know, they'll turn it on. They'll get Christian McCaffrey back, all these things. I think the Niners are who the Niners are. Like, I think we have
right,
this persona of them for the fact of, like, oh, they've been to the Super Bowl and things like that. I think they're a dysfunctional team. Like, you know, a few weeks ago, Debo Samuel's choking out the long snapper after the kicker missed 3, you know, field goals.
Can we pause real quick? I'm sorry. Tommy, did you see that?
Was that when they were fighting with each other?
The wide receiver choked out the long snapper after a missed field goal. But you were saying, Dan, I'm sorry.
No, like, they've got a little bit of, like, Eagles dysfunction vibe. Like, the Eagles went to the Super Bowl, they lost, then they were good, and then they lost, what, 6 games at the end of last year and just were a total, like, dumpster fire. Like, they just kind of ran out of, like, I don't know, cohesion and things like that. So I'm not exactly sure. I just know it is going to be one of those physical – they could run all over the Bills. It is Christian McCaffrey, all these things, but I'm with you. I think this is the perfect time for a bye because Von Miller said it best. After the game, I don't know if you heard it, Duffy, when he goes, you know, Sean McDermott told us before this game, it's just another game, and in 100 years, nobody's going to remember that. And Von was like, F that.
Almost.
Like, this game means a lot. Like, the bright lights are on. We're going to do all these things. Like, this game means a lot. So there is this emotional high after coming off that type of a win. But I think this Bills team, obviously, is also mature enough and veteran-led enough to know, like, Deion Dawkins said, this isn't our Super Bowl. Sean McDermott said, this isn't a statement win. This is just a Week 11 win. Josh said, it's just win number 9. All of those things make sense, but it is nice to kind of not have to gear up for another team right now and to kind of reset. And I'm sure Sean, next Monday, will have 15 things to say what they did wrong and kind of bring them back down to earth.
Dan Fates from 13 Wham and Buffalo Plus, referring to head coach Sean McDermott on a first-name basis, because that's the kind of smoke he's got.
Ooh, look at that.
As we're talking about games down the schedule, Tommy, you said this morning the game that scares you the most.
Detroit.
And why is that?
Because they're crushing everybody.
Are they crushing everybody?
Yeah, they crushed, what, they 52 points?
Yeah, but they played, it's Jacksonville with Mac Jones at quarterback.
But they did it.
And it was close going up to halftime.
But it looked pretty scary.
Okay, Dan.
And they've only got one loss.
Who did that? I'm trying to remember who they lost to. Was it Green Bay? Who did they lose to?
Yes.
Okay.
Green Bay before they beat Minnesota. They knocked off the Vikings for their first loss.
And you said their division's really tough.
They may have the toughest division in football. At least it looked that way. I'm sorry.
All right, but and those other teams aren't bad.
So. I mean, the Bears should have beat the Packers yesterday. The Packers look pretty good. Minnesota's got a really good record, but they don't look like they're going to hold up in the playoffs the way that things are coming close. All right, Dan, I'm assuming you agree with Tommy that the most daunting game left on the schedule is the Lions.
Yeah. There's a stat that says the Lions have had four games this season where they have scored more touchdowns than had incompletions. Like, they are a juggernaut. Offensively,
is that good?
They have a pretty.
I think it's good. Juggernaut.
Yeah. They scored. I think on like every possession, they scored in their first seven possessions against the Jaguars. They were 13-point favorites. They should have been 35-point favorites. They still would have covered.
And it's Detroit. They'll go after your family. They're not messing around.
They'll bite your kneecaps. Like, they'll take you into the ocean, they said, and drown you. Like, that's how they want
to
play.
You got to go far to get to the ocean from Detroit.
No, most people in Detroit think they're actually on the ocean. Oh. Not a great education system.
By the way, the Lions lost to the Bucs.
Oh, the Buccaneers. I'm sorry. Way to go, Dan. Well, you really jumped on my bad take.
Not fact.
You look dumb for supporting my idea. All right, but Dan, here's the thing. I agree with you. The Lions look scary. And I got a soft spot for the Lions. Lions fans, Detroit. I love that city, right?
Yeah.
But I was arguing this morning with Tommy and Kimmy.
What's that?
That the reason why the Lions look so scary is because Dan Campbell, their head coach, has no problem running the score up on everybody, whereas other NFL head coaches take their foot off the gas. And when they get with legitimate NFL competition, when you're now at the same level, maybe, just maybe, that vaunted record that they have and the stars they have on that team and those big scores don't matter as much.
Well, the thing is that they're an offensive juggernaut. So a lot of times when you think of, like, high-powered offenses, you think of, like, the Dolphins, where you're like, well, they're not physical. They can't win a tough game. They can't win a game in cold weather, all those things. But you're right. They have adopted this identity from Dan Campbell and this we're going to do whatever it takes to win. Like, last week they came back from 16 or 17 points down in the second half against a decent Houston Texans team. So, like, they've shown they can win a lot of different ways. They are a physical team. There are teams that are high-powered offenses that aren't physical. They've got both. They've got dudes on both sides of the ball that just fly around and will hit you. So that is kind of why they seem like a team that is built for the postseason, along with just being a team that can score 40-plus points like with ease.
So they're unique because they have jugger and not together.
Yeah.
A juggernaut. Yes.
A juggernaut, if you will.
A juggernaut.
A juggernaut. Is that it?
Yeah. Very unique.
They're a juggernaut of juggernauts.
Some teams not, some teams jugger.
But this team.
Combo play. He fused them together to create a juggernaut. Juggernaut.
All right, here's what I want to know.
You can't stop a juggernaut.
I'm going to ask Tommy first, and then Dan, I'll follow up with you here. Dan Fates with 13.
Buckle up, everybody.
Buffalo.
Here we go. Phil.
So, Tommy, you were saying that Sean McDermott and Dan Campbell, although they look similar except for size-wise, two very different coaches. If I were to tell you right now, you could switch out Sean McDermott and have Dan Campbell, head coach of the Lions, as the Buffalo Bills head coach, would you take that switch?
Yeah.
What?
He just wants it for the entertainment factor.
Yeah.
I think Dan Campbell is more like the guys he's coaching.
Is that a good thing?
Obviously, he's working.
Who's the last NFL player to win a Super Bowl? I'm asking genuinely.
NFL player?
The last player who became a coach to win a Super Bowl.
Oh.
Was it Ditka? No, Dungy?
Ditka, Dungy.
Kimmy, can you Google the last
thing? That was a player
that won a Super Bowl as a head coach, because it doesn't happen all that often anymore, does it? Doug Peterson.
So there's
head
a coach, bunch.
Yeah, head, no, Doug yeah. Peterson, but it was kind of a weird fluke in Philadelphia.
But a lot of these guys played.
Not in the NFL.
Well, I mean, not that Miami kid.
Or McDermott.
Coach Skateboard.
Or Sala, who just got fired. I mean, how?
No, but McDermott never played professional football?
No, he played at William & Mary in college.
But so then he went into coaching.
Yeah.
All right,
so your stupid take, you would take Dan Campbell
I think he's a better motivator.
Motivator? Is that like a motivator? Is that a motivator with gasoline in it?
He's a juggernaut, if you will, of coaches. No, I would take Campbell. And I like McDermott, but that Campbell guy, man, he's fun to watch.
All right, Dan, you're in the room all the time. You've covered both of these guys. Would you switch Dan Campbell with Sean McDermott right now?
No. And again, I end up being this apologist. And everybody says some guy in my DMs yesterday was saying I'm a shrill for McDermott, that because I constantly think that he's one of the top five coaches in the league. And also, I do understand the allure of Dan Campbell, and I think he's a great motivator, and you know, he cries after losses and really is passionate and cares about his guys. All that stuff is great. He's just a little too reckless. And I know, like he'll pull fake punts off that, like, aren't necessarily needed to when he's on his own 20-yard line. Yeah, but I also want my coach to, like, not be that emotional. Like, he should be the steadying, calming force, which is why I think McDermott, for all his flaws, for his struggles with late game in big moments, I understand. I'm not trying to, like, push that stuff away. But I had people that tell me, oh, I'd rather have Kyle Shanahan or things like that. Nobody has blown more fourth-quarter leads in the NFL than Kyle Shanahan for another Coach Skateboard with his perfectly manicured facial hair and all this swag that he has. Like, there are guys that just struggle in big moments down the stretch, and Sean has also been a part of that. But on a week-in and week-out basis, Sean is that steadying, calming factor that I think this Bills locker room has bought into. And he does have a little bit of that Dan Campbell where it's like, be yourself. You know, you have Jordan Phillips, like, right before the snap, he's in the end zone firing up the crowd. And it's like, that's what Jordan Phillips does. Sean doesn't try and take that away from his players. But it's also like, hey, Jordan, why don't you go line up? We got a snap to do here. But
I love
like,
how,
all those things.
I'm sorry. I love how Dan keeps referring to the head coach of the Buffalo Bills as Sean, like you're going to borrow his leaf blower in a couple hours. Hey, Sean, listen, man, listen. You're not using it.
What Dan's saying essentially is he wants a coach that the highlight of his weekend, his off time, is eating a donut.
Unless his dog eats it first, in which case he doesn't go get another donut.
He's boring.
Who, McDermott? Yeah, you want a boring coach.
No, you want a coach like Campbell, because Campbell takes the attention away from the players so the players can play. So if the biggest star on the team is the coach.
No, he's saying Dan Campbell
does. Dan Campbell
sucks
all the energy out of the room so the players can play.
That sounds bad, though.
He's the guy. He's the focal point of everybody's hatred.
Thoughts, Dan?
Of hatred? Why does everybody hate?
You're saying, like, when it goes wrong.
Yeah. I mean, I get what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying? It falls on him because he's the big mouth of the team.
Okay.
So you want your coach to be a diva and draw all the attention away from him and
we had that
actually performing on the field?
Yeah, we had that before. It didn't work out well.
I mean, name the last coach that did that was successful. I mean, Bill Belichick never said anything about anything, right? Yeah. I mean, Rex Ryan
is about as boring as can be.
Rex was out of control.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, that's the guy you're describing.
Give me a little bit of Bobby Knight. A little touch of Bobby
Knight. Bobby Knight,
Not a lot of Bobby.
You want him on the brink of choking a player. That's what you want.
No. A little bit. A touch of Knight.
All right, Dan, here's a touch of Knight. It sounds like a really bad cologne you wore in the 70s.
I would wear Bobby Knight cologne.
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, why is he doing that? Dan Frates from 13 Way at Buffalo Plus. I'm sorry. We were getting so deep into that first question. We haven't even gotten to our second true or false. Dan, are you ready?
Yeah.
True or false? Josh Allen wins the MVP this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Not only is he going to compete for the top seed, you know, that's a big thing, too. It's like whoever is the best number one seed, it's usually the best player, or usually it's just the quarterback on that team. But this was, we talked about the game of the year and things like that. National stage, that kind of performance, that narrative now of Josh having that moment in that type of a game,
ooh, a
I think goes
point.
A long way with all of those voters and things like that.
It's a tipping point.
Have you been trying to work tipping point into the show all day?
Yes.
Did you hear that this weekend somewhere?
Tipping point.
Okay, stop doing that. All right. I mean, do we want that, Dan? Because there is a weird statistic. In the last 25 years, Patrick Mahomes is the only quarterback to win both the MVP and a Super Bowl in the same season.
Are we sure about that, Kimmy?
Positive. We talked about it.
I think we did look this up last time.
Okay, I just want to make sure I'm not following more of Duffy's incorrect facts.
Hey, well, I led you down the wrong road before.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I'm not trying to go down this road again.
No, I believe it. Since 2000, Patrick Mahomes, a couple years ago,
he's the only one to do it.
Was the only one to win MVP and a Super Bowl in the same season.
Because Brady lost in the year that they were 17-0.
Yep.
Hey, that probably checks out.
Talk it out with you all you want, buddy. I'm rock solid on this
yeah.
one.
Yeah, I think it's also Josh doesn't care. And it's so funny. After games when Josh does something incredible, he doesn't take, like, any of the credit for, like, that type of play. Like, I went around the locker room and was asking guys, like, what was your view like? And I tweeted out, like, Dorian Williams was like, this guy's crazy. Like, it's just insane. Like, Dawson Knox is a guy that has played with Josh Allen his entire career, and he said that he's constantly, like, in awe. Like, Dawson said that when Josh crossed the line of scrimmage, he goes, I kind of knew he was going to score, and there was a linebacker and three defensive backs in his way, and I just knew he was going to score. Like, that is the type of big moment, big play kind of thing that, like, again, you have an MVP moment, that'll be the first play that you think of when Josh gets announced as the NFL MVP this year.
Okay, I got one more question before we go, and this one's going to be a little deep, Tom. Here's the thing. He kicked off this game yesterday with a bang. Bills safety Taylor Rapp, he's a guy that a lot of Bills fans were worried about taking over for the Hyde Poyer spots as the season started. Dan, true or false, Taylor Rapp, Bills safety, is the defensive MVP so far this season?
False. It's either Taron Johnson or Terrell Bernard. You can flip a coin. Both of those guys have been outstanding. And when they haven't been on the field, it has shown in those games. So while Taylor Rapp's been good, I'm with you, Duffy. Like, I've been defending Rapp and Hamlin as both guys that have been good. I'm not saying they've been great, but we have seen what Jordan Poyer is now. And Brandon Bean deserves credit for getting rid of those guys maybe a year early rather than a year late, because I think they have been more than adequate at filling the shoes of a legendary.
Ooh, that sounded like an insult. More than adequate, Dan. I just want to throw that out there. That hurt me.
Why?
More than adequate? Everyone dreams to be more than adequate at their job.
Well, you're filling all pro safety shoes, and I don't think Taylor Rapp's going to even be a Pro Bowler. Let alone
Mr. Adequate.
An all pro. The Legion of Adequate of the Bills secondary.
I like that.
But I think they've been.
So Sean, you don't like him.
Sean and Bobby Bevich deserve credit for the adjustments they have made in changing their defensive system around the safeties now that they have, because they're playing to their strengths rather than what this defense used to be. I like Taylor Rapp. I'll go with more than adequate. They have been above sufficient. They have been good.
Still not impressive. And we had to push you to get that out of here.
You're like saying like the like nice ways a teacher would compliment a student that she didn't think was going to do that well.
I'll tell you what he sounds like. He sounds like a Soviet factory owner during the Cold War. Your work has been more than adequate this year. Here is extra beef for family.
Jimmy, he's a bad test taker, but he works really hard. Always does his homework. Like, he does a great job. Always raises his hand and sits in the front of the class.
All right. Well, I mean, Dan, look, I can drop some facts on you. Fact one, the Bills are 6-0 since Taylor Rapp put on the puffy helmet, so we got that going for us.
That's true.
I mean, in fact, I'm sorry, go ahead, Dan.
Is the puffy helmet the Bills' most valuable player on defense?
Well, look, I mean, the Bills have not had this kind of success in a season since Mark Kelso, former Bills defensive back, also wore a puffy helmet. The puffy helmet might be the key to what's happening.
Damn.
I don't think the puffy helmet's getting enough attention. Let's start it up here.
Okay, great. Great. I'm glad we're there. Also,
start his own Twitter account.
There's got to be 40 Taylor Rapp Guardian Cap Twitter handles. But going further, Dan, I mean, the straight up fact is Taylor Rapp has made three or four plays in games that you can argue won them the game, running players down where the Bills kept them out of the end zone or saved 4 points. You had that interception on the first drive last night that completely turns the game and puts the Bills plus one possession with the lead. I think that he is going under the radar. The Bills lost both games he didn't play this year, Dan. Okay. I mean, that's a fact.
That is a fact. I can confirm that fact.
Facts!
But I believe Terrell Bernard didn't play in one of those, or if not both of those games, too.
Just saying, they won opening day and day week two without Johnson. They've won games without Terrell Bernard.
I think this is a bit, and you don't really think that Terrell Bernard's the most valuable player.
I love Terrell Bernard. I'm still upset with him because he didn't knock that interception down last night, which made Tommy win one of his bets when it was better for field position anyway. No.
Oh, so this is why you're all butthurt about it.
I love Terrell Bernard. I love Terrell Bernard. But I do think that Taylor Rapp is criminally underrated, and I think we should all wear big puffy helmets in solidarity, yes.
Underrated for sure, but there's no doubt what this defense is without Terrell Bernard on this field compared to when Taylor Rapp is. Like, it's different.
Guy sucks.
Dan.
I do want his take on one thing really quick.
Sure, sure, sure.
Because this didn't end
We're
up
very
being
late.
This didn't end up being
We're very late.
Shut your pile. This didn't end up being a factor in the game, luckily. But that missed extra point by Tyler Bass.
Ooh.
When does that become a problem for the Bills where they make a change?
Kim, why do you got to go there?
Yeah, Kim.
Like, we were having a good conversation.
Yeah, we were having fun, Kim.
I'm just curious because this kind of has become a pattern at this point. And I'm just wondering, like, do you think the Bills, if ever, they'll do something about it?
No, not this season. And I think it's his fourth extra point miss this season. So it's not good. But I appreciate you raining on this awesome Monday. Like,
yeah, way to end it that way, too.
Well, I thought
nice.
You were going to get to it at some point.
Hey,
you
all right. This is
we're
fun,
like,
by the way.
MVP, Terrell Bernard and Taylor Rapp are unsung heroes. And they're like, oh, hey, by the way, here comes a car accident of our kicker.
By the way, somebody just ran over a dog outside. Ladies and gentlemen, Dan Fates.
Thanks, Kim. Really appreciate it. I thought you always had my back on here.
Well, I was asking your opinion.
All right, but Dan, in all sincerity, I mean, you say they're not going to do it for the rest of the year.
I mean, like I said, luckily they didn't have to worry about it last night. It wasn't an issue, but it could have easily been in a close game against a good team.
I mean, look, if the Bills end up kicking a field goal there, instead of Josh doing what Josh does, it does factor into the end of that game. And, I mean, you got the Lions, you got the Niners. You do have to worry about every team in the AFC that's in the playoffs right now look very difficult. You're telling me they're putting it out of their heads until next season?
Could be a tipping point.
Shut up.
Another tipping. Well, I think the big tipping point was the 61-yarder. And he had made his six kicks since that 61-yarder. So I think he had kind of turned a page. But I guess Kim just has to bring up the bad memories, so I appreciate that.
It happened. I didn't kick it.
Now, my grandma died when I was 13. You want to talk about that, too?
I put my dog down when I was 8. Like, want to bring that up as well?
Two dead dogs now, thanks to Kimmy. Way to go, Kimmy.
That's what I did.
From 13 Wham, Dan Fates. Now, Dan, let's say I love the coverage that you and Catalana and Jenna do on 13 Wham.
I can tell you something they won't be talking about.
Yeah, we didn't mention it. Thanks.
But let's say I want almost everything except for Kimmy's important question, plus more. Where can I find that, Dan?
The Buffalo Plus YouTube channel. Appreciate. Also, the Buffalo Plus podcast is a top 10 podcast on Apple Podcasts sports chart. I don't know how, but it's a top 10 podcast.
It's not. So you're going to tell me your podcast.
Tommy has no idea how to look that up, by the way.
But is top 10 a podcast?
Top 10 sports podcasts. Like in that category.
Good
with Dan in it?
Yeah, yes, Dan in it.
We have a Dan Fates in it. There's no way you're a top.
No,
listen, you're
no,
quality
really
people.
Are.
You're not top. You're not top 10.
Tommy, somebody sent that to us. I didn't believe it, and I thought it was just because my phone is like Buffalo Plus. I was like, it's just got to be some algorithm. I asked my friends in like other states and be like, hey, can you look at this to make sure it's true?
So you're top 10.
We are number 9. We are number 9. We're ahead of Ryan Russillo. We're ahead of Shannon Sharp's podcast. Crazy. We're coming after the Kelce brothers.
Okay.
All right. Well, hey, look. You call the kid a lightweight.
You're a good kid. You're a good kid. Relax, all right? People like you.
Yeah. Some.
Dan Fates from 13 Wham. And one of
so mad.
Yeah, he is, right? Well, yeah, because he's been working 30 years, and he's still sitting in a chair that's got holes in it.
I'm not top 10 in this room.
Dan, always a pleasure. Thanks for the time, man. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Appreciate it as always, guys. You're the best.
All right, there goes top 10 podcast having Dan Fates. Tommy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Know me.
I've known you for a long time, Patrick.
I'm not one to say I told you so.
Whatever.
However, a lot of people got really upset with me on social media and in the show when
Why?
I had said something around this time last week. And to those people, after this fight is now over, where yet?
What happened? What's wrong?
You're hanging out in the break room. It's just Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. So this was a hell of a weekend for sports.
Oh, my God.
Right? Not only all the great NFL games yesterday, you had some fantastic college football upsets that went down. You had Rochester native John Bones Jones back in the UFC octagon on Saturday night. And what might have been the most anticipated, as I use quote fingers, sporting event of the weekend, Friday night, Mike Tyson, Jake Paul, live on Netflix.
Ooh, the Rumble in Dallas.
That's right. So I had said on Thursday, I believe, around this time, that if you were planning on sitting and watching this event, thinking it was a real fight, you were a sucker.
Well, it's Mike Tyson.
Sucker. And Tyson was going to go out there, and he was going to go run roughshod over this kid who doesn't know how to fight, and he's a spoiled ass, you know, Gen Z or millennial, whatever, and we're going to show him how we did it. And I had said here, this fight was not real, that it was essentially a choreographed dance piece. And that when you watch this thing, you were going to be super disappointed.
But I saw Mike Tyson slap him during the weigh-in.
What? Wait, what? They must really not like each other as they set up this matchup.
He cracked him good, buddy.
Okay. So first of all, there were people who just straight up could not watch it even if they wanted to.
No, my husband and I were the... So we saw that the fight prior to that was getting really good. So we're like, oh, we'll put it on. And then we got about maybe 2.5 minutes in before it started... given us like that buffering sign, and it wouldn't go away no matter how many times we closed out, went back in, closed out, and we're like, forget it. It's not even worth it.
So I did peep right when it came out at 8 o'clock to see what it was about.
Peeped it.
And I couldn't understand why I was looking at Rosie Perez of all people.
So she's a boxing analyst. Legitimately.
Okay,
she's good.
It's Rosie Perez.
Yeah, she is a deep...
fine character actress. How did she get this job?
She covers boxing for other networks and shows. She knows her stuff.
I just thought, like, hey, Rosie Perez is here.
No, Rosie Perez knows her boxing.
So that was legit.
Yeah, that's legit. Okay. Yeah. She's done it before. So the problem here isn't so much for this fight, quote, because who cares?
You think it's a fixed joke?
Well, no, we'll get to that in a second. I'm talking about the Netflix buffering.
Yeah.
Netflix says 60 million people tuned into that fight, and that's why they had issues. But the problem there is...
what's that?
In 6 weeks... the NFL Christmas Day games are going to be on Netflix.
And this isn't the first live event that they've messed up. Like, I think that they've had, like, live maybe, like, comedy shows, live, like, reunion-style shows.
The Brady Roast.
And they've had issues with all of those things. So last night was, like, the worst of it.
Ooh.
And I can't imagine, you know, when there's a ton of people tuning into an NFL game, how that's going to go.
You're going to have way more eyes on those Christmas Eve games than you have on whatever the hell that was Friday night. What the heck? Can they fix this in 6 weeks?
I hope so.
It's Netflix. They're good.
The NFL's got to be crapping their pants right now because there's a ton of money wrapped up in all of this. Yeah. Advertising dollars, you know, the promotion of your biggest stars.
Yeah, very popular.
But past that, anyone want to talk about what the hell that was between Mike Tyson?
Oh, the actual fight?
Yeah. No, because it wasn't an actual fight. Mike Tyson took $20 million to go dance around with a kid in a ring.
So how did he lose?
What are you talking about?
It was all choreographed?
Yeah, of course. What did I tell you?
So there's going to be a rematch?
No, it's done.
How did he not have a rematch?
Because Tyson lost.
I think.
Tyson lost. Why would you want to see what that was again? People are furious when they tuned in to what they thought was going to be a real fight to watch Mike Tyson take $20 million to move around a ring with a guy.
So the other kid, what did the kid make? 60?
40-something. Who cares?
Holy Christ.
I mean, they made a ton of money. But they made a ton of money off the backs of suckers who thought this was going to be a real fight. And going even further, there are people who gambled on that fight.
Yeah.
Seemed like a legit sports book.
Yes. Now, you could not gamble in New York State. There were 9 states that would not allow you to gamble because somebody smelled a fish.
Oh.
Now, and here's the other thing. The excuse.
Wait, your mom was there?
The excuse they used is it was not a standard rules boxing match, so they wouldn't let them do it here in New York State. bigger gloves, shorter rounds, 2 minutes, all that stuff. But I mean, it's pretty obvious. The states that know they're gambling did not let people bet because they knew it was fake. Here's your tell. And I'm going to say it now when this comes out. If Jake Paul made a whole bunch of money or someone close to his camp betting on himself, there's your proof. Even more damning, if Mike Tyson or someone in his camp bet a whole bunch of money for Tyson to lose that fight, there's your smoking gun. And you don't even need a smoking gun because, I mean, if you watched what happened or the clips afterwards, it was a joke.
But I guess I know nothing about boxing. I guess I don't really know what it's supposed to look like. Did it look real enough to people, though, that they couldn't tell the difference?
I mean, look,
because I mean, it just looked like two people punching each other. So I wouldn't know the difference personally.
But they were landing punches, right?
Yeah.
Well, I saw one they showed where Tyson got punched in the face.
Okay, Tyson could take a shot. I mean, that's what he does. No, Kimmy, no, to your point, if you've never watched a boxing match before, I wouldn't understand why
and
you
thought.
And I wonder
how many new eyes were on it.
Okay, if new eyes watch that, if that was your first introduction to boxing, that was the worst thing to happen to boxing in 50 years, minus Don King.
Yeah.
Right? But I will say this.
What's that?
Right? And you ask, how do you know it's all staged? Mm. Right? So I've been doing this for a long time, and it's not even close to the same level, I understand. But if you've ever been in a boxing gym in your life, there are two things you never do.
That smell.
You never get in on your first day because somebody's going to hurt you. And you never, ever, ever goad the old man that's standing around the gym.
Mm.
Because no matter how old you get, no matter how slow your feet get, no matter how much strength you lose, every old fighter has got savvy.
Yeah.
That kid, what's his name?
John Paul Jones.
John Paul Jones, that guy... He's not a good fighter. He
looks like he's in shape.
No, because there's a couple of times where Tyson, I saw in clips afterwards, moves forward, and he just turtles like a scared kid. There were definite openings for Tyson to put him down. And he didn't do it. I have watched.
Gotten into boxing.
I have watched 20-year-old kids that are highly ranked amateurs get in with 50, 60, and 70-year-old guys in jeans and work boots, and those old guys work those kids.
Well, I'm surprised they didn't do a better job. If it was a throwing fight, they didn't do a better job of it. Because, I mean, there used to be, you know, when the mob got involved with boxing.
Sure.
And they would throw fights. They looked like legit fights.
Sometimes. No, ask Jake LaMotta about that. He ended up in front of a congressional hearing.
But, I mean, you know, you would think we got better with faking this.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing.
But if it was that obvious,
it's
pretty sad.
Did it also not help that the fights prior to it were pretty entertaining?
You mean real fights?
That's what I mean.
So,
so
they had an
undercard? To go from that to... To go from that, like that last one, jumping into this one, it was kind of a letdown. It was going to be a letdown.
They had like women fight.
There was a women's belt fight that was ahead or before that one that I hear was really good. There was another fight ahead of that was really good. And I'll tell you why they couldn't stage this fight the right way.
Right.
One, Tyson has never thrown a fight before, and I'm going to be honest with you, I'm a little disappointed. I get it; it's $20 million, right? Fine.
Mm.
The other kid's not a fighter, so he doesn't know how to throw a fight. He doesn't know how to fake win a fight, even though he's been fake winning fights since he's been getting in the ring. I don't know, man.
Didn't really matter.
No, look, the fight doesn't matter.
I mean, because boxing, where's it going? I mean, it's kind of fading away.
No, I will have a 30-minute argument
with
you, so
this.
Let's not do this.
No, but there's other things to watch now.
I guess my biggest disappointment is this.
What's that?
Right? It amazes me sometimes how easily people can be taken in by obvious frauds.
Mm.
And everything about this, from the beginning to the end, was an obvious fraud.
But it had a lot of flash to it.
Fine, yes, that's what frauds have, is flash.
So you could have a conversation.
But this had a ton of flash.
Oh, ton of flash. I'm sorry.
Ton of flash.
You're not going to believe this, man. Tell you what, I got this business.
They even came out in a car.
Get out of here.
Usually they walk out. You know that?
How would you like to make $1,000 a day?
Yeah.
I got this great business. All you got to do is work underneath me, right? You sell these berries that I have.
Yeah.
Yeah, they come from like this mountain that you've never heard of before. And they have all kinds of healing properties.
They'll sell themselves.
Bro, yeah, I know. How about they give away a Bentley for this?
I'm in.
Okay. The fight is not what disappoints me.
What disappoints?
The fact that so many people got taken in by this and so many people got so mad at me when I brought this up last week that they were lighting me up all Thursday, all Friday, up until the fight started, when all of a sudden they completely disappeared.
Well, we put a lot of trust in Mike Tyson over the years of everything he's done for us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.